Last few weeks, following the Lord's direction on the subject of healing and divine health, and it appears the devil decided he would show me how important divine health really was, and that he would try to knock me off stride, and so I wouldn't preach it. Well, if I died from some interminable disease, with my last breath, I would declare Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
And the reason I would is because His Word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
One of the things I want to take us to, I'm not going to preach very long this morning. Why do I say that? I mean... It just struck me. Here I go again, you know, because I think that's what I'm going to do. And then my dad used to say, son, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. But my intention is not to preach very long this morning. But I think what I have to say, if this is new to you or if you haven't thought about it for a while, this will be very revealing for you, as it is for me. We hear people speaking from time to time about how important it is to have a touch from the Lord. And you'll hear folks say, oh, I need a touch from God. I need a touch from God in my finances. I need a touch from God in my body. I need God to touch my physical body. I need God to touch my family. I need a touch from God in my emotions. I need a touch from God here, a touch from God there, a touch from God somewhere else. And Christians all over are trying to figure out how to get God talked into touching them. Now you think about it. Trying to figure out how can I talk Him into touching my life. Trying to determine how can I manipulate Him into a corner here so that He has no choice except to touch me. Because I know that's what I need. I need a touch from God. But we have it all backwards. And let me show you what I mean. Mark 5. Simple truth today. Not terribly complex, but profound. Verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. This is a woman who had a menstrual problem, and she had been 12 years without a stop in her menstrual flow. Mark goes on to record that she had suffered many things of many physicians. She'd tried to get this dealt with. She'd been to all the doctors she knew. She spent all that she had, but she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So 12 years of doctoring, all her money, all her energy, but she was worse than when she started. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. Now, if you read prior to where I began to read today in the 25th verse, you will find that Jesus was on His way to another man's house. The man's name was Jairus, who was the minister of the synagogue. And he had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was dying. And some folks had come on his behalf and had asked Jesus to come and see about this girl, and He was on the way. As they traveled, Jesus and His disciples, there was a great crowd that went with Him. They were thronging Him. The Scripture says that she came in the press behind. What is being described here is a milling crowd that is accompanying him along this road. Jesus is completely absorbed, apparently, in where he is going and what he's about to do. He has one thing on his mind. It's not this woman with the issue of blood. He doesn't know anything about her. He has Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter on his mind. He, his disciples, and the crowd are moving along the road. And this woman comes behind in the crowd. Not up in front of him, behind him. And she touches his garment. For she had said, verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she had faith that if she could just get close enough to him to touch a part of his garment, something that was touching him, that she could get her healing. And Mark records in verse 29, straightway, boom, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Now, 12 years she'd been bleeding. She touched Jesus' garment, and immediately the blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt it happen. Now watch this. I find this fascinating. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, and the word virtue here is the Greek word dunamis. We've been talking about power, haven't we? We've been talking about God has the power, but the power must be received. Jesus had the power, but the power had to be received. Now you see, the power of God had already been delivered into the world when? When Jesus came. What this woman needed was not a touch from Jesus. She needed to touch him. So Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, do you find this as fascinating as I do? Jesus had no idea this woman was getting healed. She knew it before he did. That'll knock some of your doctrine in the head, won't it? He was shocked. Do you see that there was nothing volitional here in the Lord Jesus? She didn't come to him and say, Lord, if you would just touch me. She never asked him for a touch. He never said, yes, no, I in between. She touched him. And when she touched him, the power was released and she got healed. Now think about the time and the energy and the prayer effort that you and I waste. I don't know why God hasn't turned off his hearing aid when he hears my voice. I would have. I'd have turned the sound off. How much time have we spent talking to him, trying to convince him that he ought to touch us? He doesn't need to touch us. We need to touch him. You heard me say 100 times 100 that while we're waiting for Him, He's just waiting for us. One day, one fine day, we're going to get a hold of this. One fine day, we're going to get that from not here, we're going to get it down here. And it's going to revolutionize how we live. The power is there, released and available to anyone who wants it. But we must touch Him, not try to talk Him into touching us. Now the fact is that there are times when the Lord will sovereignly and providentially reach out and touch somebody. Hallelujah, because if He didn't, there wouldn't be very many people who would ever have an experience with God. Amen. And so He does do that from time to time. And it's wonderful and it's gracious and it's merciful and it's loving and it's caring and compassionate that He would do that. But that is not the way that we're to live. Now, let's finish the story, and then I want to make one other point. The disciples said unto Him, verse 31, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And He looked round about to see her who had done this thing. Notice that Jesus knew nothing about this until He felt the power. When He felt the power flow, He knew someone had made a contact. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and you understand why, a woman who was in menstruous was forbidden by the Jewish law to be in public. And she really took her life in her hands to come into the crowd like this. For if she had been caught in that condition, she could have been stoned because she was unclean. And anybody who touched her, knowingly or unknowingly, would have also been unclean. And so she was really in dangerous ground here. But faith doesn't care about those things, does it? So the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, how did she get healed? It was her faith that made a draw on the power. It was her faith that touched God. And when her faith touched God, the power was released. Now that's the way it'll work for you too. That's the way it'll work for me. You say, "Pastor, that's a nice story, but that's a one-time situation." No, it isn't. No, it isn't. In fact, excuse me, look over at chapter 6. Verse 53. "And when they'd passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him." They recognized Him, and they ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard He was. "And whithersoever He entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that they might touch, if it were but the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole." See, you get that? This is the way that we receive what God has promised to give. See, we pray and we act like God's holding out on us. But He's not. He's a giver. The Scripture says that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In Romans, Paul tells us that He who freely offered up His own Son, how shall He not also freely give us all things? He's not holding out on us. He's not holding back on us. He's not playing like a grandfather or, you know, father. Well, guess which hand I have it in and you can have it. That's not the way he does. He's not capricious. He's made it simple. He said, you can have it. You just have to touch me. And the way you touch me is with your faith. You understand that? Whose responsibility is it to do the reaching out? Whose responsibility is it to do the touching? It's ours. There's a story in the 5th chapter of Luke where the way the passage reads, it says that Jesus was present in a man's house and he was teaching. And there were a lot of people there, and the scripture says, and the power was there to heal them. The power was there because Jesus was there. But only one man got healed that day. You remember the story? It was a fellow who was paralyzed. But he had 4 good friends. When they tried to bring him on a pallet into this man's house, they couldn't get in because the house was so packed full. They crawled up on this man's roof. They took the tiles off of the man's roof and let their friend down from the roof in front of the Lord Jesus. He got healed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now the power was there to heal anybody who wanted it, but only one fella got it, because he reached out and touched. Now, I think what the Lord wants me to say to us today, I think what he's trying to say to me and through me to you, is that we are not, as Rush Limbaugh says, mind-numbed robots. We are created in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. We are free moral agents. We make choices. We can initiate things. We can do things. We can choose not to do certain things. We have responsibilities. And the things that we receive, obtain, or do not receive and obtain in our life are in large measure due to the choices that we make and the actions we take. If I were to talk to you on the subject of healing, or on the subject of salvation, and I were to say to you that if you had a person, let's say we have a lady here on the front row who is not saved. We don't, but let's say we did. And she's here praying. Oh, Lord, touch me. Oh, Lord, touch me. Oh, Lord, touch me. What would you tell her? She could pray like that until she dies and never get touched. See, the word is clear. We must come to him. He doesn't come to us. He already came to us in the form of his son. He doesn't keep coming. He came, he's here, we come. And so we would encourage her, would we not, to come to the Lord, to surrender to him, to reach out and touch him. In fact, there's a song we used to sing, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Some folks didn't like that song. But there's some truth in it. We must do the touching. You know, Jesus can pass through this auditorium this morning and everybody in the place receive what they need except you. Explain that to me. Explain that. We have to participate. We must touch. And so, let's stop waiting for Him. Let's take Him at His word. And let's reach out and touch Him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we do not just accumulate some head knowledge today, just add to our repertoire some details about a wonderful healing story from the gospel, but that through the example of this poor, miserable woman, that we see that it wasn't necessary for her to wait until she caught your attention. It wasn't necessary for her to wait until you didn't have anything else to do. It wasn't necessary for her to wait until you said, well, yes, it is my specific will at this particular moment to deliver you. The fact that you were there was evidence that it was and it is the will of God that healing should take place. And she believed that if she could just touch you, that the power of God resident in you would minister a cure in her body. It's exactly what happened. I pray, Lord, it's my desire that we should have that same revelation in our hearts, not only with regard to the subject of healing, but every other area of our spiritual life and our walk with you. We want you to be delighted when you see that our faith is strong, that we really trust in your innate goodness, that we judge you faithful when you make a promise, and that we will act upon it, act accordingly. We know it must give you great joy and great delight to have your abilities ministered into our lives. And we just want to say thank you, express our gratefulness that you're teaching us once again how to walk in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.